verse 3 of 1 Samuel chapter 9 goes, one day Kish, donkey, strayed away. He told Saul, take a servant with you and go look for the donkeys. Verse 6. Okay, then they took off to look for them. Now down to verse 6. But the servant said, as they were looking, I've just thought of something. There's a man of God who lives here in this town. He is held in high honor by all the people because in everything he says come true. Let's go find him. Perhaps he can tell which way to go. Now verse 15. Here we go. Jump down to verse 15. Now the Lord had told Samuel. Oh, I forgot verse 9. Sorry about that. In those days, in verse 9, if people wanted a message from God, they would say, let's go ask the seer. For the prophets used to be called seers. Today we have the Holy Spirit that can speak to us. And also, everybody said, I want a word from God. I have many words from God for you. If we could just obey these words, our life would be so much easier and better. But we want new revelation. How can I be a better dad? I'll tell you right here. Tell you. Don't pick on your son while he's sleeping, but rest of the time, pick on him all the time. Right, son? But it tells us how to be all these things that we... But now we want the latest and greatest, but that's not for tonight either. Now we're jumping down to 15. Now the Lord had told Samuel the previous day, about this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Anoint him to be the leader of my people, Israel. He will rescue them from Philistines. For I have looked down on my people in mercy and have heard their cry. Verse 17. When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said, that's the man I told you about. He will rule my people. Just then Saul approached Samuel at the gateway and asked, can you please tell me where the seer house is? Verse 19, I am the seer, Samuel replied. Go to the place of worship ahead of me. We will eat there together. And in the morning I will tell you what you want to know and send you on your way. Let me get a little water. All right. And don't worry about those donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, for they have been found. I am here to tell you that you and your family are all focused of all Israel's hopes. Saul replied, but I am only from the tribe of Benjamin, the smallest tribe in Israel, and my family is the least important of all families of that tribe. Why are you talking to me like this? Didn't it just say in the beginning of that chapter that he is from the richest clan in Benjamin? If we go back to verse 1 of chapter 9, it says, there was a wealthy, influential man named Kish from the tribe of Benjamin. He's lying about himself. We will lie about ourselves or not to fulfill what God's called us to do. We'll say, well, I'm not that good. I'm not this. I'm from this family. You know, I'm the last born. Trust me, I'm the last born. I can make a lot of excuses or not get things done. All right, verse 26, chapter 9. We'll actually pick it up in 25. When they came down from the place of worship and returned town, Samuel took Saul up to the roof of the house and prepared a bed for him there. Verse 26, at daybreak the next morning, Samuel called to Saul, "Get up, it's time for you. It's time you were on your way." So Saul got up, ready. He and Samuel left the house together. When they reached the edge of town, Samuel told Saul to send his servant on ahead. After the servant was gone, Samuel said, "Stay here, for I have received a special message for you from God." Chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. Here we go. Then Samuel took the flask of oil and poured it all over Saul's head. He kissed Saul and said, "I'm doing this because the Lord has appointed you to be ruler over Israel, his special possession. When you leave me today, you will see two men besides Rachel's tomb at Zilea on the border of Benjamin. They will tell you that the donkeys have been found, that your father has stopped worrying about them and is now worried about you. He is asking, have you seen my son?" All right. Now jump to verse 9. As Saul returned and started to leave, God gave him a new heart, and Samuel's signs were fulfilled that day. When Saul and his servants arrived at Gibeah, they saw a group of prophets coming towards them. The Spirit of God came powerfully on Saul. He, too, began to prophesy. When those who knew Saul heard about it, they exclaimed, "What? Is even Saul a prophet? How did the son of Kish become a prophet?" Verse 12. And one of those standing there said, "Can anyone come become a prophet no matter who his father is?" So that is the origin of the saying, "Is even Saul a prophet?" All right. So that's all the backstory. And it's going to be interesting here in a little bit. I'm going to talk about what took place before Saul was called out. Now we're going to get into part of the message here, verse 17. It goes, "Later Saul called the people of Israel to meet before the Lord at Mizpah, and he said to this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, has declared. I brought you out of Egypt, rescued you from Egyptians, from all the nations that were opposing you. But though I have rescued you from your misery and distress, you have rejected your God today and have said, 'No, we want a king instead.' Now therefore present yourself before the Lord, my tribes and clans." Verse 20. So Saul brought all the tribes of Israel before the Lord, and the tribe of Benjamin was chosen by lot. Then he brought each family of the tribe of Benjamin before the Lord, and the family of Matriots was chosen. And finally Saul, son of Kish, was chosen from among them. But when they looked for him, he had disappeared. So they asked the Lord, "Where is he?" And the Lord replied, "He is hiding among the baggage." Verse 23. So they found him and brought him out, and he stood head and shoulders above anyone else. Said that he was that way. Verse 24. Samuel said to all the people, "This is the man of the Lord chosen as your king. No one in all Israel is like him." And all the people shouted, "Long live the king!" So they all went their way. Verse 26, Saul returned to his home in Gibeah. A group of men whose hearts God had touched went with him. But there were some scoundrels who complained. How dare them? "How can this man save us?" They scorned him and refused to bring him gifts. But Saul ignored them. All right. What I want to talk about is that it's time for us to come out from where we've been hiding. See, people say, "Oh, I'm going to come out of the closet. Look at me." We need to come out of our prayer closet and say, "Look at what God's about to do." This man was hiding. He's already been anointed king. Now he's hiding among garbage. We no longer need to hide what God's doing in our lives. Yeah. We don't need to hide like saying, "Oh man, I'm from a town of Dodge Center, from a
And the cool thing about it, that he was baptizing people in the Spirit even before he was born, with children in the womb. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit before he was born. That's when I see people who love Jesus and they're pregnant. I'm like, Lord, fill that baby with the Holy Spirit. It needs it.
And so the thing about it, here is Saul. He's been anointed as king. He's hiding. And all of a sudden, they go, okay, come on out. Come on, wherever you are.
But he's like, oh no, I can't do this. See, he's putting himself down because he doesn't look at himself the way God looks at him. See, we all have gifts. We all have gifts. Because guess what? God's given everybody a gift. I don't care if they love Jesus or not. When they were
conceived and all those things, there was things that God put into two DNAs to make them for you. And the thing about it, God's given you gifts. And the cool thing about it, you usually marry someone who has different gifts than you. That's a good thing.
I got the gift of harassing people. My wife didn't get that gift. I passed it on to my son, and he's excelling in it.
But there's things that we all don't have the same gifts or the same abilities, and that's okay. See, the thing about it, we all want to be like this person.
Guess what? It's not our job to be like this or that. It's our job to be what God's called us to be. And we need to stop hiding in garbage and hiding the gifts that God's given us
and saying, well, you know, I don't think I can be a king. Guess what? They call him out. Guess what? A lot of times people see something in you before you see it in yourself.
That's the reason why it's never fun to go along.
Even running is never fun go along.
Especially when you're doing lots of miles all at once. And the thing about it is that I was doing my morning walk this morning. I think Jeannie and Gary had their winter gear on out there this morning. But I was walking, there's a gentleman that walks, and he saw me running yesterday. So I was walking, and he goes, oh, you're slowing down today? I'm like, well, and we started talking, and all of a sudden I found out he's had run 6 or 8 marathons in his life. Like, two. And he goes, how far have you run so far? He said, we started talking, and I go, I got up to 15 miles so far. He goes, you'll be fine. I'm like, well, that's good.
But the thing about it, he ran a marathon in Houston, Texas. He goes, that's the easiest marathon to run because it's all flat land. Just a couple little overpass. He goes, the most rewarding and the most difficult one, Pikes Peak Marathon. Running off Pikes Peak. It's already high altitude. And now you have to run 26.4 miles up this trail.
Come on. I might have to try that one.
After I live out there for a while. I mean, I'm going from Minnesota to already 10,000 plus feet of altitude. There's a big difference, trust me. But then he just continued. But the thing about it, I was meeting Johan for a coffee or something like that, and we were at a place in Byron, so supposedly healthy smoothies. I'm not sure how healthy they are, because I looked at one says like chocolate and peanut butter or apple pie, and I'm like, I feel like this should be like not on you, but there was on the unhealthy side. But then there's a healthy side where it's just basically the fruit smoothies. I'm like, okay, we'll do those. And she found out that I was training, and she goes, here, have this packet of vitamins or what was it called? Supplements. So when you run, you won't grow weary. You won't faint. I'm thinking after 10 miles, I'm ready to grow weary and faint.
And so I put in my Campbell backpack. I have a running backpack. I put water in. I ran out of water. But I'm like, wow, this stuff actually works. I don't feel as tired. I'm like, wow, I might have to go buy some more. And then I figured out the price. I'm like, wow, I got my cheaper ones. people reject me? Well, they're going to reject you if you go all around. What if people don't like what I say? Well, you wouldn't be the first person they don't like what you said. What if I mess up all these things? You know
why he was hiding in the baggage? Because
he didn't trust God. You will hide your gifts because you don't trust God. You will hide
behind people because you're afraid of failure. You're afraid. But what if you come out of this and you have people around you to support you?
You're going to always have these naysayers, because he even says there are some scoundrels. I love that word. You're a scoundrel. Yeah.
And the thing about it, a scoundrel, see if I thought I had it written down here, that it basically just, they despised him. They literally did not like him. And the thing about it, those who came against him, they always have enticed the leaders of Israel. Guess what? If someone comes against you, they probably come against other people. And I love what it says here. Saul goes, forget you. Don't pay attention to the naysayers. We pay more attention to those who say bad things about us than those who will come along, encourage us, and say, you can do it. We will listen to the naysayers who absolutely do not like us, and they'll say, you can't do it. We're like, well, yeah, I guess they're right. You don't know how many times I want to quit this training program. I come home, my wife goes, how was the run? I made it. You know how hot and muggy it was last Monday and Tuesday?
Oh, I know.
You know, huh? It was horrible.
All that
time
in this house, it was like,
I agree. And so guess what? I threw my shoes on. Well, I put them on. I didn't throw them on. That'd be kind of weird. I put my shoes on. I still took off. I didn't get as far as I wanted, but we got there. See, the thing about it, the naysayers said, you can't do that. Naysayers will always come against you, Roger. You know what you do to them? And just move on. That's all you do.
You don't give, it's just Saul ignored them. How awesome is that? Because they didn't even give the king a gift. It'd be like going to a birthday party and you didn't bring the birthday boy or the birthday girl a gift. It'd be like going to a wedding and you did not give them a card. It'd be like all these different things that a gift was expected out of you and you didn't bring it.
Why didn't you show up? Because I wanted the cake. But the thing about it is that these people hate him, but there was,
it says here, it goes, but when Saul returned, there was a group of men whose hearts God had touched and went with him.
Have you ever noticed that there's times when you connect with different people at different seasons, and God brought you guys together, just like with Herbie, that we're able to connect with him and doing great things in Haiti, still dealing with the government. You think our government's messed up and slow to get things done? We won't even talk about how Haiti works and how slow they are. They keep dragging their feet and like, stop it, government. I'll come down there and lay hands on you.
One way or another. But the thing about it, God says, I have a plan. If you notice something, and then
we're going to veer off on some different tangent now. Before Saul was called, before he was publicly called, he was anointed privately. Think about it. Before you can go public with God, with God's calling on your life, you've got to get along with God so he can anoint you. There's a time that God has set apart. You think about it. God orchestrated those animals to leave. Like, that's kind of mean. No, you think about it. The animals left. The cows escaped. They didn't have the branding. They didn't have GPS on them. They just escaped. And they go looking for them. And God knew they would go looking for them. He knew Saul would go looking for them. And Saul the servant went looking. And the thing was, they could not find them at all. Cows came home. Cows are smarter than they were. But while they were wandering, a thought came to the servant's mind. There's a man of God here who will give us wisdom where the cows are. Some told me, I don't think it's by coincidence. I like using that rather than coincidence. Coincidence that I ran into a couple people who have run marathons this week because I was struggling to put through. When you're praying and when you're seeking God, you will always find the answer that you need. It might not be the answer you want, but it's always the answer you need. As long as you're seeking God with everything you have, with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and praying and seeking and worshiping Him, He will always answer you. But it might not be the answer that you're expecting. And all of a sudden, they come together. They go, this is the city. Out of all the cities, they look up, doo-doo-doo-doo, in neon lights. Here is the city of the prophet that will tell you where your cows are. And so, at the gate, so many symbolism there, at the gate. That's where they make the laws, that's where they make, there where the leaders hang out. That was the place to be if you were going to meet somebody. And met them at the gate. And they go, do you know where the seer is? He goes, I am. And I have been expecting you. And so they connected. And all of a sudden they get together, they ate. He put them up on the roof and made a bed for them. Next morning they scrambled up some eggs, some bacon. Okay, maybe not bacon. Maybe turkey bacon? I don't know. I don't think that stuff is legal to eat. I think that should be illegal. That's like any diet root beer out there that should not be legally made. That should be like, there's some things that just, and I heard from Aurora that Quick Trip had Mountain Dew donuts. And she goes, don't try them, because unless you really like Mountain Dew. If you don't like Mountain Dew, don't try them. See, there's some things that are not supposed to go together, like ice cream and ranch.
Donuts should not be neon.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But the thing about
it,
and so they came down, they started walking, and all of a sudden he goes, tell your servant to leave, because I got a message just for you. You got to get along with God. You got to get along with God to get the message that God has. I don't have. If you came from me to give you a message, I'm going to disappoint you. But if you came to get a message from God, He will never disappoint you. If you're waiting for the 27th, 28th to be healed, or 26th, 27th, to be healed, to be set free, to be delivered, you're waiting too long. Why can't He do it tonight? He can't. Because the same God that our friends
coming up from Atlanta serves. It's the same God that you serve. It's the same God I serve. We don't have a corner of the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that baptized us is the same the Holy Spirit that's inside of you.
And so the thing about it, he anointed him with oil.
You've got to get along with God to get your anointing. Every person, I'll start rattling some people off here in a minute, who was all alone before God anointed them, before they were sent out in service. There's only one person who was not anointed alone before he went out to service. And he was anointed before he came to earth. That was Jesus. So he was anointed up in heaven to come on. And so before even he was went into his public ministry, he was anointed in heaven to carry out what God's called him to do. So the thing about it, there is a brooding season from being labeled, I got this for you, you're anointed to carry this out, to actually fulfilling what God's called you to do. This happened so quick that I don't think Saul had a time to recognize what was taking place. I don't think Saul recognized the heaviness and the weightiness of his calling as king. But so many times, God says, I'm going to anoint you, Roger, to do this. And all of a sudden, 3 years pass, and you're like, nothing. 5 years pass, nothing. All of a sudden, things start to change. Things start to move. Things start to happen. 8 years later, it's taking place. Did you know? I'll throw this out there. 17 years ago, we moved up from Arizona to Minnesota. It was a beautiful January day down there. 72, sunny, absolutely gorgeous. And all of a sudden, we get this email from a pastor in Minnesota. There's over a foot of snow on the ground and it's cold. And the first response is, no way. A week later, we knew we were supposed to move. But the thing about it is that when I was in Arizona, I knew what I was supposed to do. It took years and years and years and years. And then we get here to Minnesota, I'm like, I just want a comfy, simple, country church. Can I have that, God? He goes, you can have that, or you can have the power. I'm like, I'll take the power. But it took years and years and years. In the next couple months, I'll explain how we got where we're at. Because it wasn't like overnight. People are like, wow, God speaks to you quite often. Yeah, he speaks to you too. But the question, are we listening? Are we on the same wavelength? You ever get a radio station, it's like really in tune in a city, and all of a sudden you start driving away from the city? Or there's a storm, there's lightning going on, you're like, ah, I can't stand this. So all of a sudden you have to change channels. Or you have to put on a CD or an 8-track. That's for you, Dean, an 8-track. To drive down the road. And so the thing about it is that there's times I look back and I'm like, man, I know God was speaking then, but I missed it. But it was a process to get word from there. But this process, because you think about it, these people were out of line with God. The nation of Israel wanted to be like other nations. Don't be what other people. Be what God's called you to do.
So, the first person, Abraham. God says, come out of your tent, Abraham. Look up at the sky. Count the stars. 1, 2.
If I start laying on my back counting stars, I'll be like, oh, good night. And we only see very few stars in the city. He called them out. So that's how many descendants you're going to have. You see the sand? You ever count how much sand? You think about one handful of sand. That's a lot of descendants.
Have you ever been to the sand dunes anywhere?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah. The desert has a lot of sand.
Yeah.
And it hurts when the wind blows. It's like a sandblaster. Oh, yes. And so, but if you think about it, who's alone? No one went with him. Remember when Jacob came back? He put his family on one side. He crossed through a little stream. He wrestled with God all night. All along. And guess what he did? God left a mark on him. When you wrestle with God, when you get along with God, there'll always be a mark. Remember we read about Saul? That people noticed there was a change in him? He was anointed. Next person, Moses. He was just minding his own business, taking care of his daddy-in-law's flock. He got into the family business, and everything was good. He had his wife, he had his two kids, he had his Porsche, he had his Humvee, you know, he had his little house, and then he's just minding, he's like, life is good. You know, I forgot all about Egypt. I don't have to go back there, because, you know, I'm good. If I never go back to my hometown of Egypt, my home country of Egypt, I'm good. God will eventually get you back where he wants you. But God had him take a 40-year travel as being Potiphar's grandson. Another 40 years on the mountainside. He went from riches to rags, basically. And all of a sudden, he said, I can use you finally. He's 80 years old, Jared. You still got time.
Thank you.
He's not done, is he?
No. Just getting started.
That's right. He's just getting started. I mean, think about it. It was another 40 years for him. He's 120 years old. And guess what? He didn't need these. He saw across the land. He goes, I wanted the promised land. But he didn't start out him as being the leader to lead him out of Egypt. It started when he was, no one knew where he was at. He ran away on the backside of the mountain, a bush. I don't know about you. If I see a bush now burning up, I'm running the other way. I don't care. Next person, David. Have you noticed something? Moses taking care of his dad-in-law's stuff. David's now taking care of his dad's stuff. When you take care of other people's stuff like it's yours, God will touch you and move you and promote you. David was taking care of the sheep. He was a forgotten one. And some people believe that David was born out of wedlock from another woman than his other children. His other siblings. Some scholars believe that. And they go, he's red and rugged. He was just a runt of a runt. I mean, if a wind would blow, he would get blown away like a tumbleweed.
He's littler than you.
Yeah, littler than me. He's like Luigi. It rains, turns sideways, don't have to get wet. But he was out minding his own business. Taking care of sheep. But he didn't start when he got anointed with oil. Took care of God. Anointed him when he took out the bears and lions. Oh my. All those animals. So he was anointed. Yeah, his family was around, but he was still anointed by himself. It wasn't a public. See, the thing about it is that a lot of times we want to be anointed in the ground. Look at me! I'm being anointed for this ministry. Hopefully you're anointed in your closet.
Hopefully you're anointed on the backside of the mountain. Hopefully God, you're getting a hold of God, God's getting a hold of you when no one sees it, because when it comes to public, everybody will see it. Then Elisha was out in the field. He had six, he was well off. This man, not Elijah, but Elisha. You think about it, he had plow after plow after plow. He had six regiments, so he had 12 of them. And all of a sudden he goes, I'm burning all the... And here comes Elijah, goes, oh, you're going to follow after me, let's go. He goes, can I burn these things? If you want, I'll keep on going. He was out plowing the field for his daddy, minding his own business. When I was going to ministry, I was minding my own business. I was fine. I want to be a draftsman. I was going to sit in a nice, comfortable, cool office. I want to draw houses for people, and we'll be good. I only had 2 years of college then. Oh, man, it was going to be great. Get me through in and out of trade school. We'll be great. Let's go for it. And by then, the CAD machines started coming in, so the artwork was a lot easier. He was just minding his own business. Isaiah had an encounter with God. Elijah, who called down fire from heaven, never talked about how he was anointed by God. God just used him greatly. Never talked about his past. He just all of a sudden he shows up on the scene. Sometimes people just show up. You're like, where did this guy come from? Then, cool thing about it, Jehu. This guy was crazy. But his anointing by God was even crazier. Elijah sent him to go anoint Jehu, anoint him with oil, and run. And so they anointed Jehu with oil, and he ran, and then they ran. And they asked Jehu, who was that guy? I don't know, some crazy guy. And all of a sudden they go, Jehu's king! And he's the one that took out Jezebel. Before you tackle anything big, make sure you're called to do it by God. Make sure you have the anointing of God with you. And the thing about it, he comes riding on his horse, and everybody's like, he looks like Jehu. He looks like a crazy man. Can you imagine someone, they can recognize you by how crazy you drive a horse? Jews, you can recognize how crazy people drive, but this is just a different form. Jesus was always anointed. The 12 disciples, Jesus called them together. John the Baptist was anointed in the womb. Paul was traveling to kill Christians. All alone by themselves. It wasn't like, hey, look, we have 1,000 people here. We're going to anoint this person now. Ooh. No. The anointing comes from being alone with God. To be overcomers, you get anointed alone with God. We'll look and say, wow, they have public ministry. How great is that? How much time do they stand alone with God? What is their alone time with God like? Are they saying, God, whatever touches your heart, whatever moves your heart, I want to do it. Lord, I'm willing to seek you. Wherever you tell me to go, I'm willing to go. So many times, we want the results, but we don't want to put the time in the secret place. We don't want to put the time in worship. We don't want to put the time in. But we want the anointing. And God goes, if you get along with me, I will anoint you. And I'm going to call you out of the garbage. And you don't have to say, you're alone. We can look at Gideon. That's right. B.D. They get mixed up a little bit sometimes. Gideon. He was anointed by himself. He was actually hiding. He was
working the wine press, not with wine or grapes. He was doing it for they would not see his wheat crop. He was hiding. God goes, come on out, man of valor. God sees something in you. He goes, come on out. I got something for you. But you got to be alone with God. You got to get alone with God. If we don't get alone with God, we will never shake this city. We won't shake this town. We won't shake this county. And our job is to shake it. And you're anointed to carry it out. You're anointed. You might say, well, but you don't know my past. Did you know? I'll tell you this story. I don't know if I shared this before or not.
I was complaining to God. Imagine that. Your pastor complaining to God. It's amazing. I actually have complaint days as well as you do.
And I go, Lord, I feel like there was a prophet that says, he was not, usually in the Bible, you followed after what your family did. It's just, so a king would have been, the son would take over the kingdom and stuff like that. And I go, Lord, you called me to be a prophet. My dad's not even a prophet. He goes, whoa there, son. Who said he wasn't a prophet? He wasn't carrying out what I called him to do. I'm telling you right now, you can make all the excuses you want, but God's going to look at him and says, stop it. And come clean and say, I can do it. Because God's called you to do it, you can do it. You can do it. You know, God's not done with your husband. You knew that. He's, you know, it's amazing that he's still around in a healthy, vigorous way.
Because God knows there's people in the nursing home who's never heard the gospel. Yes. And if he wasn't there, they would never hear it. Mm-hmm. See, your neighbors, there's people that you work with without you showing up. They would never hear the gospel. You go, wow, I can't preach. I'm not saying with words all the time. I'm saying how you treat them. When you go to work, most of them don't even really care about God. They're there to make a buck, but you're there to make a difference in their life. Dean, when you work all with all those different people, and you have an opportunity to share your faith with them, just share what comes out. Because you never know what the difference is going to make. Because you're an independent contractor, they can't kick you off the job. Roger, just keep being Roger. And I don't mean this in a bad or derogatory way, but I think you understand well when I say it. Those stray dogs need an owner. Am I right? Those who need somebody who's older than them that will care for them like you do, like nobody else can. God has called us for something. And he's saying, come out of garbage now, because your thoughts are garbage, your actions are... He said, come to me, and we've got some rocking and rolling to do. So maybe that's you tonight, that you've been hiding your gifts, hiding things. And God says, I created you that way.
If you want somebody who's organized, my wife. Am I right? You want somebody who's disorganized? Look at my office. It's getting better. I'm getting better at organizing, but my organization doesn't look like hers. Doesn't mean I'm less effective. It's just different. And if we compare to each other, it's all good. Because she keeps things humming. And guess what? If it wasn't her, I'd be wearing weird clothes together. Trust me. And they wouldn't be pretty looking together either. But the thing about it is that God's called us to do something. And we need to take a step of action. If not, if we don't stir up those gifts like in Timothy says, Paul tells to Timothy, stir up those gifts. What's the gift that you're not stirring? Mary, musical. You used to play a lot of music instruments.
No, that's not a lot. No.
You played some?
One.
The piano? Yeah. Now all of a sudden you stop. You got to stir it up. Oh, Pastor, that's been years and years ago.
Yes.
I don't remember where middle C is. I bet you do. It's like a bike. Get up there and stir it up. Stir up those gifts. Some of you are great Bible minds. Stir up that gift. Some of you are this and that. Stir up the gift. Because fear will tell you, Mary, that you're never going to be good enough. Because you're not stirring up that gift. When we stir up that gift, what do we tell the spirit of fear? Get out of my life, joker. Get out of my life, complainer. Get out of my life, naysayer. You know who the biggest naysayer in your life is? Yourself. You know who's going to be the biggest cheerleader in your life? I will. I will cheer you on all the way as you follow God. So stir up those gifts. All right, we're going to get some worship music going. We're going to pray. We're going to believe that God's going to touch lives. If you were here Wednesday night, we had what I call sometimes a hot seat. We'll pull down the chair. We placed it right where Roger's feet is crossed when we did this last time. And everybody who wants prayer sit in that seat. And some people stood or sat in for other people. And if I get the story right, we were praying for Jerry. This is only a glory to God. And she didn't mention anything. And all of a sudden I go, your hip and your back is going to be healed. Oh, by the way, God's going to touch you. And you haven't complained about one iota in months. But there's some pain that's been robbing you of sleep and of the joy. And God wants to touch it and take it away. Just like he did with Jared. God, this is the glory of God. She was sitting there and she didn't say anything to anybody. I didn't know it. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just pray for her hip and let it be healed. And by the time she left, she was able to move freely. And God's going to touch you the same way. You, at first you're like, I don't want to go. Okay, I'll go. I don't know why I'm going. It's okay. But God drew you here because he wants to touch you tonight. And now you see that. And God's encouraging you. And God's going to bless you for it. And God's got your husband. You knew that. Yeah. It's frustrating at times. You wish you could bring him home, but you know, he's in God's hands there. How many people can he minister there compared to if he would be just all by yourself?
Amen.
And he'd be kind of lonely. Mm-hmm. So at least there he has company.
Right.
He has those ladies helping him, has those ladies helping you. So let's pray. If you want prayer, we're going to pray after the first song. We'll see what God has. Father, we come to you and we thank you that you're calling us out.